Paul was unable to sleep. He kept thinking about that bastard case, about the fact that Tracy had refused to swear an oath of loyalty and fidelity. She'd gone as far as insisting that she'd go on seeing Case. He kept wondering whether Tracy was asleep or if she was just pretending. If she'd promised to be faithful, Paul reflected, they'd both be sleeping well. She didn't understand how good he was to her. She was just selfish. That was her problem. Paul got up and dressed. In the kitchen, he rooted out a bottle, a box of matches, a hammer, a screwdriver and a piece of rubber tubing, then left the flat. The estate was quiet and there were plenty of cars parked up on it. Paul filled his bottle by siphoning petrol out of a tank. Then he scraped the words, "Use public transport, you bloated scum," into the paintwork of several vehicles. He went up to a Capri and placed his screwdriver against the windscreen. He banged the end with his hammer and knocked a hole through the glass. It didn't make much noise. Paul repeated the operation on a further five cars. He poured petrol through the holes in the windscreens. He had to siphon off more fuel in order to carry out this operation. Then he walked back to David's house and took the lift to the eighth floor. He opened Tracy's front door and left the tools and bottle on her kitchen table. He also left a note to say there'd been petrol in the bottle. Paul walked out of the flat and along to one of the cars he'd prepared. He leaned over the motor and dropped a lighted match through the hole he'd knocked in the windscreen. There was a whoosh of flame which scorched his hands, face, hair and jacket. The box of matches caught fire and Paul dropped them on the bonnet of the Cortina. Paul ran in the direction of the canal and clambered over the brick wall which separated it from the estate. As he panted along the towpath, he heard the Cortina exploding. He hadn't thought things through very well. There hadn't been time to set six cars on fire and make good his escape. Once Paul reached home, he shut the front door behind him and, breathing heavily, leaned back against it. When his breathing had slowed, Paul went upstairs. He could see the light was on in Chickenfeed's room. He went in without knocking. Chickenfeed was working at his word processor. "Christ, you look rough," Chickenfeed said as he turned and faced Paul. "I'm not badly burnt," Paul grinned. "Any chance of a drink?" "Sure," Chickenfeed replied. He grabbed hold of his half-finished bottle of 100 Pipers and reached for a glass. "Forget the glass," Paul commanded. "I need a real drink." Chickenfeed handed in the bottle. Paul unscrewed the cap and took a long slug. Chickenfeed turned back to his computer. He pressed the power button to the off position and the screen went blank. "Take a seat," Chickenfeed said, making a sweeping gesture at the bed with his right arm, "and tell me about it." Paul shuffled over to the bed and sat down. Chickenfeed picked up his glass and drained it. He held out the glass and Paul refilled it. Chickenfeed sloshed in a soda mix before settling down in a battered easy chair. "She's fucking Case," Paul said bitterly. "Tracy," Chickenfeed queried. Paul nodded and took another long slug from the bottle of 100 Pipers. "I suspected as much," Chickenfeed told him. "I asked her to promise not to see him and she refused." Chickenfeed nodded. "I can't believe how fucking selfish she is." Spit accompanied the words as they poured out of Paul's mouth. Paul took another slug from the bottle of 100 Pipers. "I'll kill the bastard when I see him. If he thinks he can pull better eco stunts than me, he's got another thing coming. He's just an old Nazi." Paul lapsed into silence. "You know this novel I'm working on?" Chickenfeed jerked a thumb at his computer. "I need some help with it." "What sort of help?" Paul inquired. "You're hetero, right?" "Of course I am," Paul lisped. Chickenfeed hesitated for a few seconds. "You've never done it with a guy. Fuck you." Paul wasn't going to take that kind of insult lying down. "You know I'm bisexual?" "No," Paul was genuinely surprised. "Well, in this new book, I want to recreate my first sexual encounter. It was with my next-door neighbour, a middle-aged bloke," Chickenfeed explained. "The trouble is, it's so long ago that I can hardly remember it. I thought if you'd let me plate you, then you could tell me what it's like getting it from a man for the first time." Paul took another slug from the bottle of 100 Pipers, almost draining it. He was lost for words. "Well, think about it for a few minutes," Chickenfeed suggested, hoping the whiskey would weave its magic spell. Paul tried to force his thoughts into something resembling a logical structure. While he certainly wasn't queer, he did want to help Chickenfeed, and his encounter with Case had left him with a much more objective view of gay sex than that held by your average straight. It was unlikely Chickenfeed would find anybody else as suitable for a blowjob. It was in the cause of art, and that first time he'd made it with Case had been so extraordinarily pleasant. Chickenfeed wasn't bad-looking. In fact, Paul decided he fancied him. "Okay," Paul slurred. Chickenfeed didn't need a second invitation. Within seconds, he was on his knees. Paul felt Chickenfeed's hands on his flies. His excitement increased as the zip came down and Chickenfeed's fingers massaged his length. The member stiffened. Chickenfeed put his mouth around it. Chicken feet sucked, chewed and swallowed. At first he could think of nothing beyond the fact that Paul's cock had recently been inside Tracy. There were probably still traces of her sex juice on it, but these thoughts were abandoned as his genetic programming took control. The two men were no longer in Bow, but out on the mudflats. It was hot, dark and humid. The earth was a body and they were part of that body. Lava hissed in the distance. Then an even older genetic memory seized control of their heaving unconsciousness. They experienced Paul's orgasm as a digital recording of the first star exploding. "How was it?" Chicken Feet demanded. "I need to know for the book." "Pleasant," Paul slurred. "Very pleasant." Paul swayed and then he slumped on the bed. He'd passed out. Chickenfeed wandered through to Paul's room and lay down on the empty bed. As he did this, he was thinking about Alienation. If the group hit the charts, his 50% management fee would be big money. And if he could use Alienation to promote war between rival youth cults, then sales of his book were likely to skyrocket. Alan would have to go. He was cracking up, couldn't take the pace. He'd do for another month or two. Chicken Feed would time the sacking to gain maximum publicity. Perhaps Alan could be persuaded to commit suicide. Such a stunt would pay dividends in terms of press coverage. Chicken Feed wondered who he could get in as a replacement. If the worst came to the worst, he could fill in himself. He knew the rudiments of the basis craft. Catfish could teach him anything else he needed to know.